Welcome to Double X Science. It's in your genes. Today is Friday, August 30th, 2013. I am Adrienne Rorick, chemistry editor, and with me today is Matthew Francis, physics editor at Double X Science. Good afternoon, Matthew.
Hi, Adrienne.
Today we have a slightly different format for our listeners. Matthew writes fantastic book reviews among his other posts at Double X Science, and his most recent book review was about Angry Birds, Furious Forces by Rhett Allain. We'll discuss this book in review along with the other books and reviews Matthew has posted for us. So let's go ahead and start with this most recent book review that you wrote for us, The Tour of Physics, Angry Birds Style. Your kind of key point was that it's a kid-friendly guide to Furious Forces. So can you tell us a little bit first about the book? That's not necessarily a reread of your review.
It is a very cute book. It's very graphically focused. Every page has some kind of image on it. And it's really, you know, very slick, very attractive book. I'm a professional physics writer, so I'm not the audience for it. It's very much something for kids who play Angry Birds, or, you know, I'd say probably anybody who plays Angry Birds and is just interested in physics but doesn't really know anything about it. And so I would say just a very friendly book for people who are maybe curious about learning a little more about physics, and Angry Birds is a nice way to grab eyeballs, I think. And frankly, I would say, you know, if you've got a kid who, you know, is of, I don't know exactly what the proper age group it's aimed at is. I think, and of course age groups are, for kids are always kind of questionable anyway.
Yeah.
Cause, you know, I was reading books that were far above my age group, quote unquote, when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people who go either way. And of course, you know, just because it's aimed at a younger audience doesn't necessarily mean that an older kid couldn't get something out of it too.
Oh, because
the book covers a lot of ground. It goes all the way from what is velocity all the way up to the distribution of dark matter in the universe looks like, you know, there's, and everything in between. It's,
wow.
It's really covers a huge number of topics. So I think, again, like I said in the review, I think it has a lot of value, even, maybe even more than as a book you read straight through, as a book you can pick up and look up a topic. Flip through the book, look up a topic, look at the index, that kind of thing, and just have fun with it.
Okay. So you talk about in the review a little bit that when you play Angry Birds, and my game app of choice is actually Words with Friends, so, you know, but I have played Angry Birds enough to be familiar with it. And in fact, I think most people probably are familiar with it, that the motion is that parabolic motion when you're just flinging them from a slingshot, and that you mentioned how some of them drop egg bombs, some split into three smaller birds, and then they have these other parabolic curves that they follow. And so the question is this even following real physics? But it appears that Mr. Allain didn't necessarily explore that portion of it. He just used the Angry Birds as a way to kind of rope people in?
Right. For the book. On his blog, he actually does extensively talk about the physics of the game.
Oh, okay.
That is at a higher level.
Okay.
Because he actually uses software like you would use in an introductory physics class, in a college-level introductory physics class. I've used the software he uses. And analyzes the trajectories and show, you know, tries to figure out exactly what they're doing. Like, is the, I think it's the yellow triangular bird, you tap on it and it goes faster.
Yeah, I think so.
And he's trying to figure out exactly what happens when you do that. So I actually would encourage people, you know, who may want to go a little more in depth, or if you have kids and your kids want to go a little more in depth, look up the blog posts which are linked from my review and find out, you know, what goes on. And I don't remember the answer right now. It's if it's a set boost in speed or what exactly happens when you tap on the bird. But, you know, he figured that out. He figured out exactly what's happening from a physics point of view. And it's really cool and interesting stuff. But the book, again, is focused on a different thing. It's focused for, it's aimed at younger people.
Okay.
It's aimed at people who have less of a physics background.
It sounds to me then that the book itself is probably aimed at, say, elementary age kids, maybe into high school. Because
yeah,
when you
junior high at junior high and maybe a little younger, I would say.
Well, I mean, to be frank, I think my nieces and nephews who are in maybe that kindergarten, first grade are familiar with Angry Birds. They might be interested in this because they actually have strong science bent. You know, who would go figure? But their parents also really promote this sort of thinking. So it actually sounds like. I think I might have a Christmas gift picked out. Shh.
Great.
But,
well, I don't know them, so your secret's safe. No, actually, I've actually gotten responses that from people who have read who read my review, who said, this really does sound like a good gift for my kids or my niece or my nephew or whoever.
Okay.
So, I trust that parents and uncles and aunts know what's going to work for the kids in their lives, and they say it sounds like it's a really good resource for them. So I think that's very high praise, higher praise than anything I can give in the review.
Yeah. Well, it kind of strikes me, the Angry Birds is kind of a rope to explore these physics concepts in a visual way for a younger audience, as you say, but that he does go into the actual physics of Angry Birds on his blog. Which you talk about him using physics software in his introductory, like in a college introductory physics course.
Right. Well, like physics 101, if you're taking it as somebody who was majoring in some science.
Right.
You know, that's the level of class that he analyzed Angry Birds.
Okay. So some high school students who are particularly interested might want to go onto his blog, so.
Exactly,
so
yes. And I think they'd find it valuable.
Okay. So that sounds actually like a great book. We're not even heading into the holiday season, but for people to keep in mind for the science-minded kids in their lives, or even their gaming kids in their lives who.
Yeah.
Introduce maybe a little bit of science. Definitely for the geek kids in your life.
Exactly, yeah, and I think actually that may be part of the reason it's packaged the way it is try to spark interest in physics in somebody who may or may not have prior interest in it.
Yeah.
Because, let's face it, there are a lot more people like Angry Birds than probably would pick up a physics book. And so maybe this would get them going on that, and I think that's great.
Well, then,
by me, it's great.
Well, if I can put in a request for a book review, I'd love for you to look at the manga guide to physics, I believe, or the manga guide to physics.
Okay.
Something I picked up for my daughter a number of years ago, and I think it's supposed to appeal to people her age. She's transitioning from eighth grade to high school.
Okay.
But to see how age appropriate that is, that would be great. I mean, I know you said, but you can,
I'll put that on my list. It's one that somebody else recommended to me. Also, the manga guide to genetics was one that was mentioned. I asked specifically for a while back. I asked specifically for people to recommend genetics books to me because I'm a physicist and I know squat about genetics. So I'll keep an eye out for the manga guide to physics as well.
Okay. Yeah. So you can throw in requests for book reviews.
Yes, certainly. Send them my way. Send me suggestions for books for me to review.
Oh, great. So then I guess going from physics to paleontology, in about a month ago you posted a review called Scientific Realities Trump Paleo Fantasies for a review of Marlene Zook's Paleo Fantasy.
Yes.
What We Don't Know About Our Ancestors. And I did discuss this a little bit on the podcast about like the paleo diet, which is what Marlene seems to focus on mostly in this book. Is that the case?
It actually covers a lot of ground, but I would say probably for most of us who have run across the paleo lifestyle, the paleo diet is the one that's probably where we've heard the most. It's the idea that agriculture is a relatively recent development in human history, and the paleo lifestyle is predicated on the idea that we're basically Paleolithic people living in a modern technological agricultural urban society. And therefore, we can trace a lot of our ills, our health problems, all sorts of things we can identify as being that our bodies have not caught up. The full paleo lifestyle includes diet, exercise, child rearing, and in some extreme cases, some ideas about gender relations, interpersonal relations. You know, some of the more extreme versions will talk about, you know, the origins of, you know, violence and proper division of labor in the family and stuff like that. And, but of course, you know, the thing is too, of course, is that there's, I would say, like with any lifestyle that is marketed, people pick and choose what's convenient for them and ignore the rest. There was one website that really got my dander up, I don't mind saying that, that was basically saying the stuff that I've heard from really, you know, really pernicious stuff I've heard from other sources, which is life was so much better in the 1950s when everybody knew their place and, you know, women didn't work outside the home and, you know, the man was the provider and was using the paleo lifestyle as justification for this. Mm-hmm. And that really got my dander up, and some of my friends who are in the paleo lifestyle were promoting this website as being, oh, this is so great, and it's like, how is this any different from any of the the kind of frankly racist and sexist stuff that you hear from other sources? The only thing that made it paleo was saying the Paleolithic lifestyle justifies this. And so I would say, though, it's all over the map. I know also some people who follow the paleo diet just for weight loss, or they follow it because they think it's healthier and they ignore the other stuff. I also know people who run barefoot but don't follow the paleo diet. You know, it's all these things. You can, people pick and choose, and I think that's fairly typical. But I'd say the diet is probably the one that most of us are familiar with, just because, yeah, that's probably the one that's gotten the most publicity.
Right. Well, everyone's looking at a quick weight loss plan, and this is something that's supposed to help with that. I think it's more recent in its roots than, say, the Atkins diet, but it seems similar in that you eat sort of a high-protein diet type of deal.
Yeah. But also, a big difference between this and the Atkins diet is that not all carbohydrates are bad. Fruit is okay, for example, which Atkins' diet, I think, was pretty down on fruit, on the basis that all sugars, all carbohydrates are bad, no matter what the source is. The paleo diet is not down on vegetables in as much as the Atkins diet was, okay. But they're equally down on things like bread.
I see. So then what Marlene Zook says is she basically takes it to tasks and looks at the actual science behind what's going on?
As much as possible, yeah. One thing that's really important to remember that she points out is that there was not one Paleolithic culture, there was not one Paleolithic lifestyle. By 10,000 years ago, 15,000 years ago, humans had distributed ourselves all across a lot of the world in a lot of different environments, a lot of different ecosystems, and adapted into those ecosystems. And so therefore, to say there was a single Paleolithic lifestyle was incorrect. And also, agriculture is not a binary thing. It wasn't like humans went immediately from, you know, having, from a hunter-gatherer society to having cultivation and living in cities and all of that. That didn't happen overnight. It was a gradual process. And some forms of agriculture probably date back a lot farther than we thought before. The memory sticks in my head that there may have been some forms of agriculture as long ago as 50,000 years. That's really early.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that predates any, that predates buildings, that predates, you know, so in other words, some form of cultivation predated most of the trappings of civilization as we think of it.
Right.
Apart from saying whether the paleo lifestyle was healthy or not, or whatever, as it is interpreted today, the important thing to remember is that what we do know about our ancestors points to a far more diverse lifestyle than a single, this is the way to be healthy. And it also, you know, from a point of view of genetics, there are things that have changed in 10,000 years. Blue eyes probably arose in 10,000 years. Adaptation to living at high altitudes, that arose in fairly recent times. Lactose tolerance, the ability of adults to digest milk, that arose fairly recently. So that kind of thing is important to remember, that, you know, 10,000 years is recent in a geological sense, but it's enough time for certain adaptations to arise. And so, speaking as somebody who's a blue-eyed guy who can digest milk as an adult, those are both things that my ancestors 10,000 years ago probably didn't have. It's a mistake to say, oh, we are just paleo people.
Right.
We have not changed in 10,000 years. That's a demonstrably incorrect statement.
So why did you think it was important to highlight this book at XX Science and say, and not in, on your own blog, Galileo's Pendulum?
It's not a mutually exclusive thing. I sometimes run the same content that I run on XX Science at my own blog. But I think it's, you know, I would say people who read my blog come for the physics content, and people who come to XX are reading for a wide variety of reasons. And I would venture to say a lot of people who read XX have run across the paleo diet, have run across this, and it's a legitimate question. How much science is behind the paleo diet? And XX is a great place to talk about that kind of thing, because I would say a lot of us have heard of the paleo diet. Well, where are you going to get your facts about it? Well, XX is a great place to reach people who have run across that, I would say.
Right. Well, and the statistics are...
And I don't talk about food on my blog, but XX, you know, people, we do talk about nutrition,
yeah.
We do talk about food for good reason, and so that's a great place to talk about it.
In an effort to make this into more biteable chunks for you listeners, I have split this discussion with Matthew into two parts on these book reviews, so please keep an ear out for part two coming your way soon.